Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Today, you've got a special treat. I've asked Pastor Bethany, our youth pastor, to come and share the Word of God with us. And this girl is a preaching machine and a praying machine. And I'm so thankful to have her part of our team. Bethany, would you come and share the Word with us today?
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. I'm so excited to be here. And as Pastor Greg said, I am the youth pastor here at the Assembly. And so I wanted to give you a little taste of what we experience back at Velocity. Normally, every Wednesday night, we like to kick things off with a game. Do you like to play games? Okay, so we're going to play a game today. Now, it's a trivia game. How many of you like trivia games? I love trivia games, okay? So if you happen to like TV shows, then this game is going to be right up your alley, okay? So I'm going to, in a second, we're going to put an image on the screen behind me, and it is going to be a picture of either a TV show cast or maybe a moment from an episode, and all you have to do is as soon as you figure out who or what this TV show is, you just shout it out at me, okay? So let's do our very first one. We're going to put our first image on the screen behind me. I think I hear it, the Brady Bunch. Now, bonus points if you can sing the theme song for the Brady Bunch. Like, just don't show me, just raise your hand if you could sing it. Yeah, I could probably join you. Okay, all right, very good. Guys, give yourself a little pat on the back. Good job, tell your neighbor good job. Okay, now some of these are gonna be super easy. Some of them might be a little harder, okay? All right, now let's see this next photo. What about this one? Good job. Excellent. Three's Company. All right. Also a great theme song. All right. Let's see this next one. Good job. Listen, these are my type of people. All right. I am from Texas and Arkansas. These are my people. All right. I feel like my papaw and mamaw could be on that Jeep jalopy with them. All right. Okay. Let's see our next picture here. This one's a little harder. Good job. I was slightly worried that you might not get this one, but this one is a classic, okay? This one is a great one. All right, let's see this next one. 3-hour tour, right? It didn't last 3 hours, much longer. Okay, let's see. I've got a couple more. I think two more, right? Let's see our next one. Good job. You guys are excellent. Now, before we show you this last one, I have to tell you something. This last one is my favorite show of all time, okay? This last show or a picture of the show that you're gonna see explains so much about me, if you know me. It explains a lot about my sense of humor that I think is great, but you might not understand all the time. But this show really, I think, influenced me from a very young age. So when we show this picture, just, you know, yell it out, but just know this is like my favorite. Okay, let's see this next picture. I Love Lucy, all right? I Love Lucy. It is a classic. How many of you love I Love Lucy, right? Okay, this show was released, a little more trivia for you. This show was released in 1951. So as a little girl, obviously I didn't watch it live. As a little girl, I would stay up late on the weekends to watch Nick at Night. Anybody remember TV Land's Nick at Night? Okay, all right. And I would watch classic shows like Happy Days, like I Love Lucy. And I don't know why I'm really drawn to shows like these. Maybe it's because I'm sentimental. I'm very sentimental. I'm the type of girl that saves every card, every letter. I have a hard time throwing away things. Like, I just get attached to things. I'm nostalgic. Anybody nostalgic or sentimental? Like, you just love kind of the old stuff. I love antiques. I love history. I don't know. Maybe I love those shows because of that. But I think there is something so comforting about these television shows because they remind me of this phrase that you've probably used or heard, the good old days. Anybody know that phrase? Say that phrase, miss those days. I like the good old days because I like comfortable. Anybody with me? I like comfortable. That's why I hate shopping for new blue jeans old jeans are comfortable, right? They are broken in. They are stretchy in all the right places. And when I shop for new jeans, they hurt. They hurt my waist. Lots of times they hurt my feelings. And so I like the old things. It's why up until Christmas of this last year, I used an iPhone 8. And all of these teenagers made fun of me. And even my pastor made fun of me because I had what was called ancient technology, right? I finally updated in the last few months. I've learned that I myself am not always the best at doing new. And this is just fine when it comes to TV shows, when it comes to iPhones, when it comes to blue jeans. But it is not fine, church, whenever God has to drag me kicking and sometimes screaming into a new season or into a new challenge or into a new level of faith. So what do we do whenever God calls us to new? For you this morning, it might be a new job, a new ministry, a new level of trusting God, a new era in your family, or a new relationship this morning. Whatever your new is, I believe that today God is going to show us how to do new. To get our hearts ready for this word, will you pray with me? Jesus, we love you so much. And we know that you're here in this room. I believe you've gathered this group of people here today and those watching online to hear encouragement and tools on how to do the thing that you have called us to do. I don't know what everyone's season looks like, but I do know, God, that whether some of us are in a brand new season, God, some of us are in the middle of a season, some of us, God, might not even be able to label what season we're in, Father, but I do know this, God, that you are always bringing us into the new, into the next, Lord. So God, as you do that, will you prepare us with this word? Will you anoint me, move me out of the way, and let your Spirit speak through me? In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 43 because this chapter is going to be our handbook on how to do new. We're going to be in Isaiah 43 verse 18 through 20. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. It says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed." All right, so I want to zoom out on this chapter, Isaiah 43, so you can really see a bigger picture of what the prophet Isaiah is saying in this chapter. So really to understand this conversation, you have to know what is going on with God's people in this moment. God's chosen people, the Israelites, they were stuck in one of the most difficult seasons of their life to date. Because at this point in Israel's history, they were in something called an exile. Let me explain what had happened to get them there. So they had an enemy. Anybody ever had an enemy before? They had an enemy that invaded their land and forced them out, ruining their cities, ruining their towns, ruining the temple. And they captured God's people and they took them to a foreign land where they were placed for 70 years. That's a long time. If you know much about Israel's history, you know that that exile was one of the most painful parts of what God's people ever experienced. But this right here, this message in Isaiah 43, it's delivered right smack dab in the middle of that 70-year exile. This is God preparing his people for what is about to come. And God is so good at doing that, church. God is so good at getting us ready for what's next, even when we don't know that's what he's doing. Has that ever happened to you before? I was reflecting on this message as I was studying, and God reminded me of this moment I had this time last year. I felt like God was stirring something in me. I felt like he was preparing me for a change, but I couldn't put my finger on what that change was. Anybody ever felt that before? Like you're just unsettled and you feel like you're about to step into a transition season. And so I remember being like, God, what is this time? And so I began to take like little steps to kind of lean in to see, God, is this what you have for me? Is this possibly what you have for me? So I prayed about it. I applied to graduate school. I asked Pastor Greg if he would give me a reference because I was like, Lord, maybe this is the next new that you have for me. And then a few months after that is whenever this opportunity to come work at the assembly opened up. And I thought, God, you were getting me ready for new months before I even saw that door open. God is so good at getting our hearts ready for something that we don't always see quite yet, right? And so we see God doing that for his people while they're in exile. In fact, scholars say this message probably came 35 years into a 70-year exile. So that means right in the middle, right? And so God, kind of like this halftime talk, he's like a coach that pulls his players into the locker room and he's like, okay, gather around. This is what you can expect in the second half. And so I want you to look at Isaiah 43 with those frame, with that framework, that God is getting them ready for what he's about to do. I love how the Message version puts Isaiah 43:18. It says this, forget about what has happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. So if we're going to do new, then we've got to start with this first thing. Number one is this. We have to start with forgetting. Start with forgetting. I don't want to brag, but I'm really good at this. I excel at forgetting. One time, whenever I was back in high school, I was running late as per usual, and I flew in with my little Camry 626, Mazda 626, flew my little car into a parking spot in the junior-senior parking lot of Nettleton High School, and I mall-walked my way to that first period class. We couldn't run on campus, so I mall-walked my way all the way to that first period campus because at Nettleton, my alma mater, if you were late to first period, you got a 7:30 detention the next morning. I did not want to deal with that. So I booked it. I made it, and the church said amen. But after school, I found myself like on the way out to the parking lot, and I was like feeling around in my backpack, in my purse, in my pockets for my keys, which is normal for me. I'm always looking for something. And so I was like feeling for my keys. I couldn't find my keys, y'all. And so I get closer and closer to my car, and I notice something weird. I hear my car is running. I walk up to my vehicle, and I realize I not only forgot my keys in that vehicle, I forgot to shut my car off. I'm thankful I remembered to put it in park. Like, I just imagine myself slamming that car into park and hightailing it out there without even remembering to do the very, very necessary step of turning that car off. From 7:55 to 3:20, that car was sitting in that parking lot running. I ran down an entire tank of gas, but that thing was still running. Listen, don't tell me God can't do it. He is faithful. I did not have to call my parents to come pick me up. I do really good at forgetting some things. Other things that I should forget, I don't always do the best job at forgetting, right? In the original language, the word forget, it means do not call to mind. Do you see that that's an action step we have to take? I think about memories kind of like I think about photo albums. I love looking at photo albums. And memories and going back to those places is kind of like going through the photo albums, picking that photo album out, opening that album, and looking through the photos. There are some albums that we need to leave on the shelf, church, right? I wonder if you've ever felt guilty of pulling back what needed to be left behind. Here's how you can tell what if that's happening in your life. Do you find yourself replaying painful moments or hurtful words over and over in your mind? Do you find yourself rereading those old text messages from an old relationship that fell apart? do you find yourself not just walking down memory lane? I told you, I'm nostalgic. Listen, I make my family gather around and watch home videos. Like, when I go visit, I'm like, what season are we going to watch of our life? 2000, 99, 93? I love going down memory lane. That's okay, too. But don't build a house there. Don't stay there. Do you find yourself building a house on memory lane, refusing to exit? Do you find yourself hating now because you're wishing for back then? Do you hear yourself saying phrases like, but it was better back then? If you are holding on to back then, you're going to miss out on what God is doing right now. And he is working. He is working. In the Gospels, we see Jesus keep running into a group of people who struggled to embrace the new ways of thinking and living that he was teaching and he was modeling. This group of people were called Pharisees. Look at your neighbor and say, Pharisees. They were religious leaders, and they were the most familiar of all of the people on the Jewish laws and the Jewish customs. So whenever we see Jesus step onto the scene, we see him shaking things up, as he does. We see him messing with traditions, as he still does. And we see him making people uncomfortable with his new methods, as he still does, right? Luke chapter 5, though, is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Gospels because it is jam-packed with all of these miracles by Jesus. But these miracles are met by a group of angry Pharisees who did not agree with Jesus and how he was handling his ministry. And so as I read back through Luke chapter 5, I noticed this trend that after each miracle that Jesus would perform, these Pharisees would meet him with some kind of reaction, with some kind of resisting, and with some kind of rejecting of what had just happened. From healing a paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5 to calling of Matthew to be his disciple, who he had a questionable reputation. They didn't like that. They didn't understand that. This crowd was continually pressing back on Jesus, continually unhappy with Jesus. Have you ever had a crowd of people unhappy with you? Whew, that's tough. That's tough. And we see Jesus sense this tension, and he responds by sharing this illustration. This illustration is going to sound familiar to you. You can find it in Luke chapter 5, verse 36 through 39. Verse 36 says this: no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old wine is just fine, they say. Man, Jesus came to establish a new covenant, just as we talked, as we shared communion earlier, that celebrating the new covenant that Jesus came to establish. He came to do it new. He came to do it new. He came to take the burden and the weight off of us so we didn't have to be weighed down by meeting all of the qualifications of the law. He lifted that off of us. But some people didn't want the new. They wanted the old because that's what they were familiar with. That's what they knew. That's what their grandparents and their great-grandparents, that's what they had been taught. And I am all for honoring what was before, but not at the sake of not following Jesus into the new. So we can honor Jesus. We can honor traditions while honoring Jesus as long as we are following him. As long as we are following him. The Pharisees were stuck to that old law, and a new way of walking out their faith was what Jesus was trying to teach. The old wine is just fine, they said. And if I'm honest, y'all, I can say that phrase too. I don't say the old wine is just fine, but I say things like, I don't know if I like that new song. I like that old song. I don't know if I like that new style. Y'all, fashion has changed a lot, all right? And I don't know if I can get with some of this new stuff. And so I find myself being like, I like my skinny jeans. I don't want to have to go back to those wide-leg things that the young kids are wearing right now. Like, I have a hard time, sometimes just like those Pharisees, with embracing the new and going into the new. And I hear myself saying things. Listen, the old way was just fine. It worked for me. It was just fine. But I've realized this, and God is challenging me with this continually. To get to better, you've got to leave behind the old ways and the old wine. This is hard. This is hard because the old ways often feel better, like those old pair of jeans. They often taste better. They look better to us right now. But Jesus wants to do something new. And scripture tells me, listen, if you'll follow me, it'll be worth it. That's what he tells us. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This is me talking to you this morning. I identify with Paul in this first sentence saying, I am not standing up here saying I've got a hold of this. I have preached this message to myself over and over and over again this week because I wanted to check myself before I brought you this word. I wanted to make sure, Bethany, you're about to get up here and talk about going into the new. Are you ready for the new? You can't stand up there and preach with authority if you're not ready to follow God wherever he leads, even if it doesn't look comfortable, even if it's not uncomfortable. So I identify with Paul as he says, listen, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. I have to believe that. I have to believe that what he called me from is going to be better. What he's calling me to is going to be better than what he called me from. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be worth it. Second thing we got to do, if we're going to do the new God's way, we got to do this. Number two is this, cancel the comparison. Cancel the comparison. I want you to look back at verse 18 in Isaiah 43. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Earlier in chapter 43, the prophet Isaiah recalls, he like lists out some really cool things that God has done in Israel's history. I want to read to you some of those neat things that Isaiah said. Hey, remember when God did this? This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator and king. I am the Lord. Listen to this, who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. That was me. Remember that? I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves. Remember that? That was me. And they drowned, their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. God is reminding the people stuck in exile. He is the same God who delivered them the last time they found themselves stuck between an army behind them and a sea in front of them. I love that. God sometimes has to remind me, Bethany, remember when you thought you were not going to make it through that season, but I showed up for you? Do you remember that? Do you remember when your heart was broken and I gave you peace? Do you remember when you were so sick and I touched your body? Do you remember when your voice nearly gave out preaching, but I showed up and said, here's a word. Do you remember when? God will do it again. My mom, back when we had church specials, one would sing on a Wednesday or Sunday night. Anybody remember this? My mom used to sing a song called He'll Do It Again. And she would get so emotional when she would sing that song. And I never understood why until I became an adult. And I have my own times now that I think of when I remember that song. Like, he'll do it again. He did it then. He's going to do it again. And God reminds his people in that moment in Isaiah 43, listen, I parted the Red Sea. I'm going to show up for you again. But in this really weird pivot, God says, he's like, remember all of that? Yeah, people are like, yeah, we remember that. We remember when you opened that Red Sea. We remember when you delivered us from Egypt. We remember, God, we remember. And God says, remember all of that? Forget it all right? Forget it all. We're going to make a pivot here because it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. It's like he was building up their faith and building up their faith and building up their faith and then saying, but get ready because you ain't seen nothing yet. And I believe, church, that we haven't seen anything yet. I believe we've seen outpourings of his spirit throughout history, but I don't think we've seen the full outpouring yet. I believe we've seen breakthrough in our own lives, but I don't think we've seen the fullness of that yet. I believe I have seen God work miracles in my family, but church, I have not seen him finish that work yet. Listen, it is nothing compared to what he is going to do. I hope I'm building your faith. I hope this word is building your faith. You might be sitting there and being like, okay, Bethany, you just said, like, forget everything. And then God said, but remember those times. So which is it? Like, what are you telling me to do? Forget the Red Sea. Like, forget the way God destroyed their enemies. I don't understand. This is confusing. Which one is it? Forget it or remember it? It's both. It's both. I believe God is asking his people to remember the moment, but to release the method, okay? Remember what God did. Hold on to that. That is an altar you go back to and you remember how he set you free. Remember that moment. Chances are, though, he's probably not gonna do the same thing the same way again. He's gonna work in a whole new way. Remember, he said, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am about to do. I believe it is both. I believe it is both. In scripture, there's often the tension of both, right? Like we see scripture tell us, rejoice with those celebrating, but mourn with the brokenhearted. And Jesus can do both, right? And we see scripture tell us time and time again, like build an altar, remember God, and also forget all that and move forward. It's both. It's both. Look at your neighbor and say both. While God promises us that he will remain the same yesterday, today, and forever, he does not promise us that life won't change, and he doesn't promise us that methods won't change. God's people expected him to move the exact same way back then as they were about to see him move at that moment. They were about to be deeply disappointed. And I relate to that because I have been there. I have set expectations on God. Anybody? I have set expectations on God on when he was to move, on how he was to move, on who he was going to move through. I have laid those expectations on God. And I walked away really disappointed. And I'm sure you've probably been there too. I'm sure you have had expectations about how God was going to come through you, for you in a season. And God did it different. Man, that could be a whole sermon series. God did it different, right? I bet you can look back at seasons in your life and think, this is how I was expecting you to move, God, but you did it this way. He went the back way. Anybody like to take the back ways through town? I still don't know them yet. I'm still new. I still declare myself new to Cabot, so I don't know all the back roads. But God is so like that sometimes in our lives that we see, like, this, God, this would be quicker. Like, this way is the best way to go. And he says, will you trust me with the back way? Will you trust me with the long way around? Will you trust me with the way that doesn't always make sense? Can we? Like, it is a faith walk, church. That means we don't have all the answers. I talk with so many students and they have questions, and man, I'm glad they do. It shows me that they're grappling with the scripture. They're like actually getting into it. But I also have to sit and say, and I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer for that. I remember in high school, one of my friends lost their mother the last day of high school to a battle with cancer. And it was so hard to watch our friends walk through. It was a pair of sisters. One was in my class, and her little sister was in 10th grade. And I had some questions for God about that. I did not understand when we had prayed and believed for my friend's mom to be healed. And I remember sitting at church camp, and one of our mutual friends was sitting next to me, and she turned to me during worship and she said, I don't understand why God didn't heal Miss Kelly. And at first I said, I was a high schooler, I said, you should probably talk to one of our youth leaders because they probably will have a better answer than me. And then God, I felt like God checked me. And I sat there and God gave me this picture of Miss Kelly healed and whole worshiping in heaven. And I told my friend, I said, I don't know why. I don't know why Miss Kelly passed away, but I do know right now in this moment, she's worshiping with us. Like as we were in a room full of teenagers talking about how God never fails, all I knew was like, I felt like God gave me this like little snapshot into heaven and that I could see her and she was healed. That's a beautiful thing that we have been given is hope. Even when it doesn't work out the way that we thought it would, God is faithful. God is faithful. Can we trust him when it does not make sense? That's a faith question we're going to have to ask ourselves. God's people have had to ask themselves over and over and over again. Because remember, when the prophesied Messiah was to show up on the scene, they were expecting a political radical or some kind of royal member of the family. That is not what they got, church. They got a baby. That did not make sense. And then he grew up to be like a humble servant, carpenter, back ways kind of guy. That also wasn't what they expected. And he comes on the scene teaching things that are not what they expected. Can we trust God not to hold our expectations so tightly that we miss what he's doing in the right now? We have to cancel comparison. Number three is this: expect the unexpected. If you've lived longer than 4 years on this planet, you can say amen to expect the unexpected. When you unpack verse 19, that phrase, something new, means this. This is really good. Fresh this year is what that means. Fresh this year. It also means unheard of. We'll get to that in a moment. But I really like fresh this year. You guys know my hero of my life is my father, Henry Glenn Strawn. He's probably watching on live stream today. And he loves him some catfish. Anybody like catfish in here? This is what this man orders whenever we go to a restaurant. He orders him a side of fried catfish and some hush puppies. And he tells my mom, shh, 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 when she reminds him that he is a type 2 diabetic. And so he's like, shh, it's okay, shh, shh, shh. And I say, let that man have some catfish, okay? Let him have some catfish. We'll work with it, all right? So he, one day after church, eating at a restaurant, as you do after church, that man ordered him some catfish, and none of us were surprised. None of us were surprised whenever he ordered that dish, but we were surprised whenever he bit into that piece of catfish and he found himself chewing on a fishing lure that had been stuck and left in that piece of catfish. And y'all, listen, in Jesseville, Arkansas, they don't care that that's a lawsuit, all right? They don't care. So we told the waitress, God love her, she was so sweet and so country, and we said, we just want to let you know, like, we did find a fishing hook in our meal. Like, do with it what you may with that information. And she said something that we've always, like, kept in our mind. She said, at least you know it's fresh. That we do. Thank you. Yes. I didn't think of it that way. Thanks for reframing that. I like the idea that what God delivers me is fresh. It's not stale. It's not leftovers. God promises us fresh. Thank God. Because I need fresh strength for the struggle. I need fresh hope whenever I have heartache. I need fresh mercies. Every morning, I'm like, God, thank you for these mercies that are fresh to me. I need them this morning. I like fresh. I find myself struggling, though, more with this phrase, unheard of. Unheard of. Unheard of means you were not expecting it. You didn't know what it looked like. And I've lived through some stuff that I wasn't expecting. Anybody? Like, in fact, I find myself walking through a season of unexpected right now. And some of it is so good. Some of it is God answering prayers that I've prayed for years. And some of it is really hard. And some of it is stuff I never would have chosen. I bet you're there too. I bet you're in a season too where you're like, I was not expecting this. That should be the tagline of adulthood. I was not expecting this, right? As we step into every new season, it's like you have what you expect, but then you have the reality of it, right? And very rarely do those two things line up. Very rarely do those two things match up. So when you find yourself in a season of unexpected, I want to encourage you this morning. Because right after God prepares his people to expect the unexpected, he said, listen, I'm going to bring something new. It's something you've never seen. It's fresh. It's fresh today. It is unheard of. He also like follows that with this. And don't worry, I'm going to make a way. Okay. I'm going to make a way. It's like he knew us. It's like he knew that we would need that reassurance. It's like he knew that sometimes his children are anxiety riddled and we would need just like this extra, you're going to be all right. All right. You're going to be okay. You weren't expecting that mountain. God says, I'm going to make a way. I saw it coming. You didn't see it coming. He did. He did, right? You weren't expecting that layoff. God knew and God provides, right? God will make a way. You weren't expecting that diagnosis. God will make a way. God will make a way. You weren't expecting that breakup. God will make a way. God will make a way. A few nights ago, I was on the phone with one of my closest friends, and we were catching up on life, as you do when you live long distance. And we were just talking through some of the situations that we're both facing, but really in this moment, she's walking through like a storm where it's one of those seasons where like you look this way, something ain't good. You look that way. Something ain't right, right? You look this way, better look back that way because I can't figure out what's behind me. Like, it's bad. It is bad. And I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say, yeah, it's really bad because I'm a good friend and I'm trying to bring hope, all right? I'm trying to bring perspective. And so we're talking, she's sharing these really hard things that she's going through. And I'm like racking my brain with God in my head, not saying this out loud, but in my head saying, God, I don't have anything to give her. Like, I've never been through any of the things she's walking through. They're hard circumstances. I don't know what to tell her. And I don't know the next step. And even one of her questions was, like, what do we do? And I just sat in silence. I was like, I don't know. I'm here. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm praying. And then I felt the Holy Spirit just drop this phrase. And I want to share it with you because I hope it helps you. He told me, make a list. First of all, that's my love language, is list. I love making lists. I make to-do lists. I make gratitude lists. But God said, don't make a to-do list. Don't make a gratitude list. Don't make a prayer list. I want you to make a list of the impossibles. Megan, you can go ahead and come on up. I want you to make a list of the impossibles. I want you to have her write down every situation that she has faced that has looked impossible. I bet you have a list in here today too, don't you? I bet as you think back through all of the years you have lived, that you have a list of things that looked bad. And however, yet here you sit. You made it through. We don't know how. I said, I want you to make a list. And I told her the same things I just told you. I said, I want you to make a list. And I will be the first to say, in my own list, I look back and I cannot even tell you how God did it. I just know it's different now. I can't tell you how God changed that situation in my family. I just know it's different now. There was no clear solution, no plan. It just happened miraculously. I don't know how God got us through incredibly tough seasons, but he did. And here's the thing, we don't always have to understand how God works to know that it means he's faithful. I love knowing the way things work and how they work. I love to crack open things and figure out the inner workings and all of that. But God has been speaking to my heart. You might not always understand it for it to have meaning, right? Like we walk through seasons that we don't understand, but it doesn't mean that season can't matter. It can. And it will, as long as we've entrusted it into the hands of God. So I said, I want you to make a list of impossibles, and I want you to do the same thing. And by the time we reached the end of that list, we were in tears, because even in the last few years, we've seen God miraculously move and answer some of those impossibles. And I'm like, God is so good to remind us, like, he's not always going to give you the answer, but he will give you something to build your faith. And so that's what we have this morning. The only thing we can expect in the unexpected is this: God will make a way. God will make a way. And our final step as we get ready to wrap up, our final step in how to do the new is this: wait for the water. Wait for the water. Verse, the last part of 19 through 20 says this: I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. The last time that our friends, the Israelites, had found themselves in need of this miraculous rescue, they were stuck between an Egyptian army behind them and a Red Sea in front of them. But now they're stuck. They're just stuck a little different. Right now, as God is speaking to them in this part of scripture, they're stuck not in a desert, they're stuck in a land far away from home, far away from everything they know and love, far away from the familiar. And these people have the hope of returning home. God has given them that. But you know, like, the wheels are turning in their head and they're thinking, well, like, the hope is home, but how are we going to get there? Because geographically, where they were exiled in the land of Babylon is a really long way from Israel. And what separates those two lands is a big desert with not a lot of water, with a whole lot of people who need some water. And so you see God speaking to their anxiety before they even have a moment to voice it. That journey home looked impossible. That way through looked like it was not going to happen. But then God makes this promise. Listen, you bring the faith, I'll bring the water. Right? You bring your trust in me. You bring the faith. Listen, mustard seed faith. It doesn't have to be big, y'all. It doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it looks like waking up and putting one foot in front of the other. Am I talking to anybody? Sometimes it looks like whispering a prayer right before you run into a dire situation. Mustard seed faith is all he has to have to work with. So we can bring the faith. And God says, listen, you show up in that desert, you take a step out there, you bring the faith, I'll bring the water. I promise you, I'm going to bring rivers through a wasteland. I'm going to bring water in the wilderness for you, church. Can you trust me, though? Can you trust me? I'll close with this. Did you notice that it said that even the wild animals of the wilderness will give God thanks and glory? Because you understand that when God brings you water, he refreshes all the other people around you too. That people are going to watch God provide miracle after miracle in your life, and they are going to see that God is real. Because how could he not be? How could you make it through that season if God wasn't real? They're going to watch him bring the water for you over and over and over again. And the water God brings for you, he's going to dish it out and he's going to splash it onto them. But can we show up? Can we show up in that moment where God asks us, will you trust me with the new? Like, it is not comfortable. It does not match what you went through 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago. But can you trust me with something totally new? I want you to shut your eyes, bow your heads. This is a moment to reflect on that word that God, I believe, has given me. I believe God has given our church. I really believe that God is speaking this to his body. Is listen, I think he's got something new for us, something that we've not seen. 2024, it's a new year. And I believe God has things packed into this year that are amazing, that are powerful, that are miraculous. But here's the deal. We can't go into 2024. We can't go into the rest of this year expecting 2024 to match 2014 or 2004 or 1951, like the year of my favorite show, I Love Lucy. We can't always expect for God to do it the way he did it then. I believe I'm talking to someone who's going through a new season, maybe unexpected. Maybe you're wrestling with comparing it to the old one like I have found myself doing too. Maybe you find yourself like having a hard time moving forward, and maybe you're having a hard time just believing that he's going to bring the water if you bring the faith. I just pray this prayer over you. That's you. You're in a new season and you just need God to show up with the water, with the faith, with the strength, with the fresh hope, whatever it is. Would you just lift your hands to receive this prayer? God, you see my brothers and my sisters walking through new. God, you see the path that lies before them, even if they don't. Even if they don't know what their next step is, God, you see them at the place that they're at. You've got a path before them. And I believe, God, that you are going to show them the way to walk step by step. But God, I pray that as we go forward, as we move into the things that you are leading us into, you would help us, God, to hold Isaiah 43 as a guide. Lord, not to call to mind the things that are better left behind us. The old ways, the old habits, the old mindsets, the old sin, the old strongholds, the old addictions, the old patterns, God. God, will you help us to see that we can honor what you've done in the past while also expecting what you're to do in the future? God, will you help us cancel comparison? Will you help us not expect you to move the same way you did? God, will you help us, God, as we walk into seasons of unexpected, will you help us remember that you stay the same? And that something we can always expect is that you will be faithful. God, as we go into the new, Lord, we can trust that you will be faithful. And finally, God, I'm praying this over my church family, over myself, God, that as we take a step of faith into that desert and we don't see the water that you promised us to provide, God, we'll bring the faith if you'll bring the water. God, we'll show up and trust you, even if it's just having done everything to stand. Maybe we can't even take a step forward right now. That's okay, but we can stand. We can stand in faith. God, even if it's that, Lord, us showing up with our mustard seed faith, God, you tell us that can move mountains. Let it be. Let it be, Father. I thank you, God. Now I pray a hope and an expectation would be stirred up in our hearts, in our church family, Lord, to walk into the new with arms wide open, eyes wide open. Church, would you stand as we pray this final prayer? God, as we walk into the new, God, as we go forward, Lord, we are walking with you. God, help lead us, anoint us to take the steps, open up the doors that need to be opened, shut the doors that need to be shut. Show us the way through, Father God. And we believe that the best is yet to come because you are leading us forward. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Praise God. We'll see you back for midweek this Wednesday.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.